The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect those of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.
Welcome to another week of Analyze This here on your NPR station in the U.S. Virgin Islands, WTJX FM. We're yours truly, Neville James. It's a gorgeous day in paradise, and we got a great show to start off the week, the Table Talk. We'll kick in at about 8:20 in between now and then. We're going to talk with the Weather Service. They're going to let us know what to expect for the week. Also bring you up to date on some other local runners. I see the First Lady headed back to the mainland yesterday after spending a spring week here on the Big Island. And I'm sure this one was a little bit less hectic. You don't have the White House press corps. As an entourage, like she and the president would have if they were traveling together, like they do during the New Year's time when the president comes here to bring in the new year at Point Udall. So, no more things we want to talk about as well. We're going to have some fun with Rocky Laybaud and Carlos Alcatraz. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. But we got the Weather Service on the line. Good morning. Who am I speaking with? Good morning.
Good morning. Good
morning. Who am I speaking with?
Giuliana Sayas.
Giuliana?
Yes.
Good morning, Giuliana. How are you?
Doing good. How are you?
I'm doing well. The weather is lovely up here in the Virgin Islands. How is it down in San Juan?
Oh, here it's pretty good as well.
Okay. Is it going to remain this way?
Yes. We have drier air over the area. I'm seeing some passing showers right now over St. Thomas. St. Croix, it's pretty clear. But yeah, we can expect some passing showers, very light. But in general, like I said, we have drier air. So we are not expecting a lot of rain. But since we have southeast winds, we are going to have warmer temperatures. So the max temperatures for today can be up to the upper 80s in St. Croix and the mid 80s in St. Thomas and St. John. So yeah, that's like the main theme, pretty dry in general and warm temperatures.
What about humidity?
Humidity, let me see here. Yeah, we have drier air, but we have anyway high humidity, so that's why we can expect like warmer temperatures as well. So let me see the heat indices for you guys. Supposed to be like in the lower 90s to mid 90s, the heat indices.
Okay.
With the humidity over the area, yeah. But in general, yeah, good okay. Weather, just warm.
What about the marine conditions for our boaters and our beachgoers?
Yes, we have, let me see something here really quick. We have for both places, both islands, we have moderate rip current risk, and the wave heights are around 3 to 4 feet.
Any small craft advisories?
No, we don't have any hazard, just a moderate moderate rip current risk.
Okay. So yeah. What are we looking at for tomorrow and Wednesday in the middle of the week when we get to Thursday and Friday?
Yeah, so tomorrow shall be pretty similar from today. We will still be under that drier air. And then for Wednesday and Thursday, let me see, Thursday. Thursday, yeah, Wednesday and Thursday, we can expect a little bit more of moist air over the area.
Mm-hmm.
So that will increase the rain chances.
That's Thursday?
Yes.
Okay. So yes. Tomorrow and Wednesday will be similar to today?
Yeah, tomorrow. And then Wednesday, Thursday into Friday, we can expect more showers.
Okay. So tomorrow's going to be similar, but Wednesday and Thursday, we're looking at some increased showers.
Yes, okay. But the marine conditions will be pretty good, lower, because we will have lighter winds.
Mm-hmm.
So the wave heights will be like pretty low, like in the 1 to 2 feet.
Okay. Okay, that's good. That's good for the beach course.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, and the weather is going to remain on 80s?
What was that question?
The weather will remain in the 80s for most of the week?
Yes, that's right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, Juliana, thank you very much.
Yeah, no, have a nice day.
Okay, you too. Appreciate that. That's Juliana down there from the weather service down there in San Juan. I was looking at the radar. The National Weather Service San Juan, Puerto Rico, and a couple of things jump out to me here. Yeah, a lot of municipalities in Puerto Rico. The map that they show breaks down all the municipalities, and they have four towns or cities on the map that they highlight. You got San Juan, which is on the northern shore, but on the eastern side, right? And then due south of San Juan, literally due south, is Caguas, right? But not far, though. Caguas is like suburban San Juan. Now, on the south central part of the island is Ponce, right? And then, you know, Puerto Rico is like a rectangle, right? So on the left-hand side of the rectangle, on the left-hand shore, right in the center is Mayagüez, right? But they got a lot of municipalities in Puerto Rico. Wow. Right? And the weather, when you look at the map, the weather is perfect. You see a little sprinkle of green here and there. I remember a little shower and so. But yeah, bad. Now, I'm seeing a little green so over St. Thomas. So there might be a shower over St. Thomas as we speak, or a little later today. But St. Thomas is on the same latitude as Caguas. Yeah. Or a little bit north, but along the same line as Caguas and Culebra. Right? And St. Croix is truly southeast of the southeastern corner of the rectangle, which would be like Humacao and Fajardo. But the radar looks nice. And of course, you know, St. John is on an identical parallel as St. Thomas. But Puerto Rico is a big island, man. Really big island. A lot of municipalities. I know Rocky last week when he was talking about when he went to Inter-American down there in San Juan. You know. Yeah, that's what I figured. I'm looking at the radar. My partner, Rufus Tumble, just texted me and said, we just had a sprinkle over here. I could see it on the radar. I checked, but the map really looks good. So today should be a good day. But so for the beachgoers and the boaters, it's looking good. You know, the morning will start off kind of cloudy then as the sun starts to warm up. It'll get clear, like I was saying, St. Thomas, you know. So, good day today. I'm looking forward to the table talk. We got a lot of good topics to talk about. About five of them. I mentioned, right, we're going to have some fun with Rocky and Carlos Alcatraz winning the Indian Wells, which is considered the highest profile Masters 1000 tournament. Rocky Padma getting knocked out during the week. Rocky and my friend over there who started teasing me last year when Djokovic came back and won the U.S. Open after Alcaraz beat him at Wimbledon. She remembered my number and started having fun with me. So, yeah. We're also going to talk about the AG's resignation, right? And the situation there at the Attorney General's office. Biden fundraising $53 million in February. And apparently the grassroots numbers, the grassroots donations, that's what you're looking for. And the topic we're going to have is, should we look at polling numbers? Or, no, let me put it this way. Who people tell you they're going to vote for, or who people are telling you they're going to support with money? In other words, if a polling entity or a news medium is conducting a poll and they call you and ask you who you're voting for, and they say, well, I'm going to vote for Troy Brown, right? That's what they say, right? But the other poll is who they're giving money to, right? If they're giving money to Donald Trump, then you know they're voting for them. There's no reason to give money to somebody who you don't intend to support down the road. That's a waste of money. So we're going to find out which poll, or we're going to discuss, actually, which poll is more valuable. The poll who they're telling you they're voting for, or the poll who they telling you they're supporting with the money. That's going to be a good discussion, right? We already spoke about the vice president, the first lady, coming to the territory for the second year in a row for a spring break after coming to bring in the new year. You know what I'm saying? I was going to talk about a verdict last week where the National Association of Realtors agrees to slash commissions in a $418 million settlement. So the question is, how would that affect us here in the Virgin Islands? Right? Because, we got a lot of, homes for sale down here. Inventory is low. Because I know I had a conversation with Stephanie Hodge late last year. But, we had a big house then. I was reading an article on The Source a couple of weeks ago. The big house them in St. John's still selling for Boku. You know what I'm saying? So we're going to talk a little bit about that and the impact of that. That's 6%. And then we also talk about former Vice President Pence. He was running for president. It didn't pan out. But over the weekend, he stated that he will not be endorsing Donald Trump, even though they once served together, which is nothing new on a local level, because that has happened here on a couple of occasions, right? We had a situation with Henry Millen, who served as Juan Luis Lieutenant Governor and then ran against him in 1982. And then 20 years later, G-Los James II, who served as Charles Turnbull's Lieutenant Governor, and then he ran against him in 2002. So we're going to have a discussion. So we got a lot of good topics that we're going to have some fun with, breaking down, all of the dynamics and all that good stuff on the table talk. Now, there was also an article that I was reading where the federal magistrate, Ruth Miller, is retiring, and her effective retirement date is sometime in July. And The Source has a good two-part article. Judy Schimmel, an interview with U.S. Magistrate Judge Ruth Miller. I didn't know about her background, so that was interesting. I didn't even know that she had worked with Dudley Tapper. That's why good to read, right? Number one, I didn't know she had worked with Dudley Tapper, right? She came down here back in the day, right? She took the bar exam in 1994. I also didn't know that it is now Dudley Newman, right? No, I have known Newman, Nichols, and Silverlight. to be the law firm Dong and Tong, Dong and King Cross Street. But I didn't know Dudley and Newman had more, so you know, when Randy come on, Randy could let us know what's going on there. You check what I'm saying? And yeah, but Magistrate Judge Ruth Miller, you know, she's moving on. She's been a lawyer for over 40 years, like 41 years. And apparently, when she, this one is cool. She said she became a magistrate judge, I think on her birthday. Hold on there. I'll make sure I say this. Okay, no, we're a stickler for being accurate here. I think she swore in. Let me see. I'll make sure I read this correctly. Mm-hmm. Okay, here we go. The official retirement date is July 25th, right? And she graduated from law school in 1983. And she's been a judge now for, she's been a lawyer now for 41 years in the law practice. She says she was in practice in Chicago at a large law firm, Mayor Brown and Platt, and it's now called Mayor and Brown. And then, and they talk about her being a magistrate judge, looking for the part here. Let us say she's, I could have sworn I, unless I see in things, but I thought she said she swore in on her birthday, so I'll make sure I get this right. Mm-hmm. Bam, 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 bam. But then she, apparently she moved here in 93. And that's when she was working for Dudley Topper. And then, she was working for another firm. And then eventually she became a magistrate judge. So it's all good. So congratulations to Magistrate Judge Ruth Miller. Oh, here it says she was appointed in April of 2010. So next month will be 14 years. I was sworn in on my birthday, so it's easy for me to remember the date. So that's cool. You know what I'm saying? So April 26th is Judge Miller's birthday. Okay, so that's carnival time. Anyway, we'll take a break. We'll get the boys down for the tabletop. Got a number of good topics to talk about. Oh, there was also a statement by the Majority Leader, Chuck Schumer, who is actually Jewish, and he took a shot at Netanyahu, calling him an obstacle towards peace. And then Netanyahu actually responded. So a lot of things to talk about in the tabletop. Don't go away. Be back right after this.
Aisha Roscoe, host of Weekend Edition Sunday, where we're not just interested in what's going on in the world, but why it's happening and how. Details are important. So are different points of view. We're dedicated to bringing you the stories behind the big events and the small ones, too. Join us every Sunday morning for Weekend Edition from NPR News.
Weekend Edition, Sundays at 9 a.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands. The Bank of St. Croix has something for everyone. With two locations, the Bank of St. Croix provides personal and business checking accounts, online banking, and mobile apps for banking on the go, a nonprofit community investment checking account, and a 24-hour banking cash management platform. Bank of St. Croix, Gallows Bay, Bank of St. Croix, Peters Rest, and online, bankofstcroix.com. For details about our nonprofit community investment checking account, our service specialists are ready to help. Bank of St. Croix, member FDIC.
Hi, I'm Peter Sagal. You spent the week listening to the news. Don't you think you deserve to show off what you've learned on Wait, we give you a chance to impress your friends with your knowledge of international incidents, political gaffes, and the latest advancement in German nudists. You'll be the life of the party or the death. Either way, you'll make an impression and you can thank Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
Saturdays at 1 p.m. and Sundays at 2 p.m. right here on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
Sometimes you need a moment to just step back, relax, and listen to your favorite song. I'm Raina Duris, and on the next World Cafe, maybe I can help you find something new to love, or maybe remind you of something you've been missing. There's so much music out there to enjoy, so take a moment, take a breath, and tune in to World Cafe.
Weekdays at 10 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1.
We're going to start the table talking a little bit. I believe Ronnie Russell is going to be checking in with us in a bit. I was just reading the article that I last mentioned. Netanyahu's response to Schumer widens rift in U.S.-Israeli relations. And he says Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is refusing to bow to calls by the top U.S. senator for a new election and is pushing back against White House warnings about a potential new offensive in Gaza, widening a rift with top Democrats in Washington. An extraordinary turn in U.S.-Israel relations in recent days is coinciding with intense diplomacy aimed at securing a ceasefire in Israel's war with Hamas and the release of hostages as the conflict deepens bitter divides in U.S. politics. But the gulf in trust and goals between Israel and Hamas has thwarted hopes for a breakthrough for weeks. And apparently Netanyahu was on State of the Union with CNN's Dana Bash on Sunday, 3 days after Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, the highest ranking Jewish American in the U.S. government, said that a new Israeli government was needed to reset war strategy and that Netanyahu was an obstacle to peace. Okay, so having said that, I can bring in the boys right now. Good morning, Ronnie Russell from Bovarenki. And Reggio, you're back in the island or you're still up in Beantown?
No, I still, I'm here.
Okay.
I still enjoying our weather and the fact that, you know, the first lady, we are regular stuff for them. So, and, you know, I like the fact that Singapore is getting recognized for its beauty.
Yeah, man.
Peacefulness and most, you know, food and music and everything else. So
I don't think there's an island outside of maybe Puerto Rico that have had so many Air Force One and Air Force Three and Air Force Two jets.
Yeah.
That come in here.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they see the lovely airport down there at the Henry Rolson Airport. That's your uncle, right? Your uncle?
Yes.
Your uncle airport.
Yes.
That's good. Yes. Good thing. We got Ducks and Rocky or Rocky alone?
Well, me alone, I try to get Ducks and get him.
Okay, remember he done assignment on us, so we'll find out at the appropriate time what's going on. Good morning, Mr. Ranking Member. Glad to have you on.
Yeah, good morning to you, and good morning to Ronnie and your listening audience.
That's what I'm talking about. No, I was just mentioning the guy, Riff, Ronnie, where Chuck Schumer, the powerful Democrat, he's a Senate Majority Leader, has labeled Netanyahu as an obstacle to peace. Now, this coming from a Jewish American calling out the Jewish Prime Minister. Of course, one is from Brooklyn, and one lives in Israel itself. That's a significant shot that Chuck Schumer is taking against Bibi.
Yeah, and rightfully so,
mm-hmm.
because too many lives are being lost, and if you really trying to resolve this matter, you could identify the person who is, you know, promoting war. And what Chuck Schumer did was say, listen, you can't lead Israel no more because you're promoting war. And that was a masterful move because it didn't have to come from the president. It came from a Jew himself. And, you know, calling out another Jew that's doing wrong. So I think this is time where, you know, he's going to have to face the music, which is they're going to replace him. So I believe that's Schumer doing it is the real way to have it done where another Jew call out a Jew for the wrongs that he's doing.
No. So that begs the question, Rocky Lightwood, because we know the political arena. Did Biden call in a marker and said, Chuck, I need you to call out this man? You know what I mean? To me, it sounds like that could have been the deal. We're speculating here, but this coming from Schumer as opposed to Biden eases you know, perception in terms of whether or not this is actually Biden who wants this the public to actually hear this, but not necessarily from me, because this is politics, Rocky.
Well,
foreign diplomacy as well.
You caught it, but listen, I agree with Ronnie that this should have been done a long time ago. As a matter of fact, I believe that what Schumer is saying, is the sentiment feeling among many persons throughout the state, throughout the world, that Netanyahu has become part of the problem. And he has a personal vendetta, not necessarily looking out for the entire country, but looking up himself. He has a personal vendetta with these people, and we cannot sit aside any longer. I don't know how America could feel good with assisting or aiding country that blatantly, outright, just taking lives. And this thing we got there about sending aid, now you guys see that?
Well, I something, Rocky, I wanted to touch on that because it seems to me that I believe the offensive, right, the Israeli offensive on Rafah is what really take this to a whole different level, right? Because you're running people out of their homes in Gaza, right? They're going to Rafah, and here you are wanting to attack them down in Rafah. I mean, it's one thing for you to bombard where people live in, right? Now they got to relocate from where they're accustomed to live, Rocky. They gone to another location, and you still want to go after people down there. I mean, let's face it, Hamas is bad, right? Bad business, bad people who like to start conflict and all that stuff. No, their counter-argument, which has some legitimacy, is that they've been oppressed for decades. But at the same time, they're using innocent people as shields, which I have a problem with. You know what I'm saying? But but this thing about, you know, wherever people go in, we're going after them, even if it's innocent people, something is fundamentally wrong with that, Rocky.
Well, I also feel that something is fundamentally wrong with how we give an aid. This, you know, you setting up people. You see how they dropping stuff.
Dropping, yeah. That's sad, man. Yeah, that's sad.
It's like you know you making me fight against my own people to get some food.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, you placing us in just a bad situation because you know what happened. Somebody gonna get trampled over because
it happened already.
I mean, that situation. There's got to be a better way, and you got to find. America has to sometimes buy the bullet to me and pull in something there and do something outside the norm. I know you don't want to get into a war, but you can't just continue to this acquiescing, and then the whole place, you know, it's just wrong, really. It's just wrong.
No, that's the way.
It's not who we are. And we are being hiding, you know, you're kind of like in a rock and a hard place. And we are going to be staying because people are going to say, no, it's in Gaza, you know, those cities. It's America. America is the one who's who's giving them Israel money.
Mm-hmm.
They're the ones who is facilitating this massacre of killing people. And so America gets the blame. Now, the good thing about what you said earlier about Zuma is that the fact that he is calling for it now, it takes the blame off of the president, you know, momentarily.
Yeah, but that's just for a time, though.
Yeah, if nothing happens and it continues or it gets worse, then we in big trouble, man. Really,
Ronnie, Rocky touched on aid, right? And apparently, this is a Friday article on CNN. It said Gaza has received its first batch of humanitarian aid by sea as international powers step up efforts to bring much-needed supplies to the besieged enclave. The ship, run by Spanish charity Open Arms, left Cyprus about 3 a.m. Eastern Time on Tuesday and arrived at the shores of central Gaza on Friday. It is meant to provide the equivalent of one meal each for a quarter of the enclave's more than 2 million people, of whom hundreds of thousands are on the brink of famine. World Central Kitchen, WCK. That's interesting because, you know, we know WCK to be that big man out of Dominica, right? But WCK, the nonprofit organization leading the initiative, said the maritime corridor will allow it to send millions more meals after the initial delivery. The aid ship comes as the United States, the European Commission, the United Arab Emirates, Cyprus, and United Kingdom join efforts to launch maritime routes that deliver assistance directly to Gaza. Ronnie, this is March. The incident happened in October. This type of thing should have been happening from a long time ago, Ronnie, man.
Yeah, that is the power of the Israeli government and the United States sort of acting in consort with the government that Netanyahu has.
Mm-hmm.
And so finally, people realize that it's just criminal. You can't kill people just like that.
And just like Hamas,
yeah,
slaughtered people in October, right? There's no support. There's no justification for the type of, mass killing that's taking place.
Right, and so, I think, it's a very sad commentary on how U.S. policy has gone awry, especially in the Middle East, and that is part of, the Israeli presence in the U.S. Senate and Congress is very, very strong. So that, the reluctance to take a side for the U.S. is very, very supported by Congress because they got a lot of Jews in Congress. But when it reached to that level, Neville, that we reach now, where Netanyahu just want to exterminate them. Wherever they go, he want to kill them. That is the straw that broke the camel back for the U.S., I hope so, because, Netanyahu, he got a vengeance. You could tell. And so he can lead a moderate country out of war. He's leading a war country into more war. So, mm-hmm. I hope it settles the initial humanitarian efforts that have been given to Gaza and those people. And then the political fallout, I think it's going to be great. But let me, leave my comments alone. But the political fallout for the Biden administration, I think it's going to be great. It's not something that you forget, So, yeah.
I'm looking at this article and I suggest people look at it as well. It's on CNN where they say aid is being shipped to Gaza by sea. But the key to the article to me is the map, right? I didn't realize that Cyprus was so close, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that Cyprus is an island, right?
Yeah.
And it's due west of Syria. But you got Lebanon to the north, right? Then you got Palestine. Then you got Israel, right? Then you got Gaza, right? Down in the corner. And then you got Egypt. You know what I'm saying? Yep. And this area needs peace, Rocky Lake. Yeah. But I mean, it's 1967. We talking, right, Ronnie? That's it, right?
Yes, 48, exactly.
48 was when the settlement took place. 67. This is 2024. We talking 57 years, Rocky. And Ronnie made this point, Rocky, where they came about because of war. So it looks like they believe that whenever something needs to fix, we need to go the war route. This is crazy.
Yeah. But you're talking about a country, a place where everything is settled by war.
Yeah, man. Conflict. You know? By conflict. Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah.
And you had the peace accords from back in the 90s when Clinton was trying to walk it out with Arafat and Rabin. And here we are 30 years later. And the more things change, the more they remain the same, Rocky. Unbelievable.
Well, the thing is this, Neville, that the world has changed somewhat, but a lot of the old tradition and behavior have not gone anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, sometimes you speak about generations in the past and a generation in the future coming up. And you want to pass on things with the generation, those kind of things are passing on, and that's, of course, that behavior that is continually enforced is the problem. We don't, you know, somewhere along the line, there's got to be some people that can see life in a different way. They can see a coexistence in a different way. And those persons, which are very few in the eyes of the community, have to find a way to make a change.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to happen overnight. It's going to take years.
And not only make a change, Rocky, they got to rebuild Gaza,
yeah.
Right? Because the pounding that they have taken, for example, right? They say delivering aid by ship, comes with complications. There are no functioning ports left in Gaza. UN Special Reporter for Food, Michael Falker, last week said Israeli forces had decimated the port of Gaza, the enclave's main, if small, port near the Rimal district in Gaza City. A nonprofit organization, WCK, the World Central Kitchen, said it was working with partners in Gaza to construct a jetty that would be used to offload aid before loading it onto trucks without specifying who those partners are. So Ronnie, this is why Biden in the State of the Union was saying they got to build a port, right? Because their due diligence, their intel, has informed them that the damage that has been done to them with the bombardment has undermined even infrastructure. Wow. Yeah. This is real, Ronnie.
Yeah, it's almost that they're trying to exterminate
the
people.
Yeah, man. That can't remain like that. And, you know, it all started with Hamas doing what they did in early October. The response has probably been over the top, you know. And, all we want is peace in the Middle East. We take a break. We come back. We'll shift to some domestic topics. And, of course, we'll also talk about the AG situation here in the Virgin Islands. We'll be back right after this.
I spent the past year trying to figure out what news designed for 21st century humans might look like. One of the things that really stuck with me was that we now know that humans actually need hope to get up in the morning. And I don't think as a journalist I ever thought about it that way.
We're always looking for new and better ways to understand the world we live in. That's On Point with me, Meghna Chakrabarty.
Weekdays at 1 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
As the news gets more complex and changes through the day, you need more than just a quick headline check. Here and Now keeps you connected to your world between Morning Edition and All Things Considered, as the news and the people shaping it are changing in real time. I'm Robin Young. Follow along on Here and Now, NPR News weekday afternoons
from 2 to 4 on WTJX-FM, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
Hi, I'm Peter Sagal. You spent the week listening to the news. Don't you think you deserve to show off what you've learned on Wait, we give you a chance to impress your friends with your knowledge of international incidents, political gaffes, and the latest advancement in German nudists. You'll be the life of the party or the death. Either way, you'll make an impression and you can thank Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
Saturdays at 1 p.m. and Sundays at 2 p.m. right here on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
He said that black smoke was constantly coming out of the burn pits 24/7. And my reaction to it was like, wow, that doesn't sound very safe. Wonder what that's about. And in my mind, I couldn't imagine at the time that type of system operating could potentially harm our service members.
Journalism that seeks and reveals. That's On Point with me, Meghna Chakrabarty.
Weekdays at 1 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
And we're back here. I analyze this. The table talk is in effect. We got Armando Rocky Laybird, the ranking member. Good morning, Mr. Ranking Member. How are you?
Good morning, Mr. President. I'm all as well.
Got it.
And Ronnie and the gang.
That's what I'm talking about. And we got Ronnie Russell, out of the West, four-term senator, member, president of the 29th legislature. Good morning, Senator Russell. How are you?
Good morning, Neville. Good morning, Rocky. And good morning to your wonderful audience. It's a pleasure to be here.
Now, Ronnie, an upset took place last week over there in Indian Wells. And as soon as the goat, Rocky's goat, get short slit, I go give Rocky credit. He didn't hesitate to let us know the goat didn't do well tonight. And Djokovic had been beaten by, I think, a young man. My name is Nardi. I think that's his name. So we're going to give Rocky some credit. He's a good sportsman. He'd like to rub it to you when Djokovic win, but he'll take your man like a loss when he get head knocked off. So we're going to give Rocky some credit.
Yeah, and, the guards are changing slowly but surely. They're going to change.
Yeah. Nothing lasts forever, right?
No, exactly. And he has been a great champion because, champions win and find ways to win. But now, age. But
your vitality level ain't the same when you're aging, Pops.
No.
That's what it boils down to. The ability to dig deep is one thing, but the body got to be in consort, right?
Yeah. And, the guys are changing. I mean, he might win a couple more, sure, because his game is still top-notch.
Mm-hmm.
But they are young, eager players who watch in every step of the way how he does it and figuring out where his weak spot is. They don't do that.
No, Rocky, I thought he was going ahead to Miami, but he's withdrawn from the Miami Open.
What did I tell you?
Huh?
What did I tell
you? You did, Kyle. You know your player. I got to give you credit. You know your player, right? And Saturday night I saw him at the Warriors Lakers game, and he and Steph Curry, he gave Steph Curry a tennis racket and Steph Curry gave him a jersey. So he's a good remember, he and Kobe were very tight, or no?
Right.
He and Kobe were very tight, so he was a sportsman. He went in the front row there, and that's the second week in a row because the week before that he been there when Denver had played against the Lakers, and Denver, we name come from Serbia as well. Jokic, the MVP, right? The finals MVP and the two-time league MVP. So,
They're good friends.
Yeah. And you know, Jokic is my guy because he like tractors, he like harness racing. You know what I mean? you see the commercial we had, the little pony them, right? So, Djokovic a good sport, man. You gotta give him credit for that.
Let me see you guys. Sooner or later, like I said, you guys. home, you know. I thought, and Ronnie, you are a real athlete because you understand the process. You understand that it's like a song. A guy who had a song, we have to talk about bringing it home. It's called Farewell, Papa. He says, no man is an island and nothing lasts forever. You know that song, Neville?
Yeah, man.
Yes,
yeah.
EC Bird, remember that?
Yeah.
I'm saying so. The truth is that the younger generation is moving up, and to me, Alcaraz made his move this weekend because he showed. There was an interview with him, and they said to him, they were talking about what surface he feels that he's best on. And they were giving him clay and grass. He said, no, I think I'm better on the hard surface. And he proved it. He proved it because he took out Sinner, and then he took out Medvedev. So he took out the best of the best that's going on.
And well, he took out his generation that's moving up. Sinner belong there. But if you change surface, Sinner might beat him.
Yeah, no. Rocky Rani said that Sinner is in the same generation with Alcaraz, and he came from behind and knocked out Sinner. He showed class.
Right. But what I'm saying is that Sinner has become like how Nadal and Federer was to Djokovic. They're all rivals.
Oh, we need one more. We need one more to join Sinner and Alcaraz because. Both have won Grand Slam tournaments, right?
But you know who there's some a lot of other young guys that's pretty good, but the head ain't that good. This guy Rooney. you're not talking about
Rune.
From Denmark.
The one from Denmark, yeah. But I believe the athlete who really has the potential is the boy Shelton. He just needs to he needs to back off of that power a little bit and put some more a little bit more finesse in his game.
Oh yeah, man, definitely. Sheldon gonna be a demon. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, definitely. He's come a long way already, and if he really puts in some more work, then got trouble with him. You know, real trouble. You know, he get upset with my boy Djokovic.
Yeah,
because Djokovic had beat him and. He started talking about how he got phone calls. And you know, he's trying to make
Yeah. And the lady sides Swiatek again, my son. She tough, Rocky.
Oh, Iga?
Yeah, man. She tough. Yeah.
Iga has that kind of a commitment. You know, I think the others could be there, you know.
Coco needs to be careful, you know, because when you start winning, when you get to that level and start winning up there, you need to continue winning, you know. Because if you don't continue winning, people would want to believe that that was just a flash in the pan or a good window for you. And part of being dominant, and Rani, you know about this, right, as a track star, part of being dominant, right, is winning the event even start, right, where the intimidation level, the intimidation dynamic, right, when man come in there and say, look, now I run against Usain Bolt. Let me try to get second because I can't win. You follow what I'm saying? If you don't incorporate that in intimidation dynamic and people start believing, I got shot when I play against you, half of the battle is won right there, Ronnie.
Yeah.
Well, listen.
But she has physical talent, you know, and she got to develop it. She got real physical talent. She's physical. I think the distractions might be her endorsements. She got a lot of ads and all kind of things, you know.
And she's the top U.S. player.
Yeah. So she might have some distractions that her coach has to tell her, cool out on these things and focus on your game, you know, because when you reach on that level, money is a distraction. You know, straight up.
Rocky, you want to say something about Coco?
Yeah, well, I look at golf a little different. And I look at her. Yes, I agree, Ronnie, the talent and all of that. But there's the other side of her to me that needs to be checked. It's her ego. I I think that she, what I looked at, when she took her, she had three coaches at the time. She had, what's this guy they call him, man? The older guy now, man, he's over there now.
Gilbert?
Yeah, Gilbert, yeah. But she had another guy with her too. And I remember one time they were playing, and she wasn't doing so well. And they were kind of telling her certain things from the, you know, where they were in the stand. And she was, like, brushing them off. I don't want to hear that. No, I know what you're doing. Yeah, that kind of way. To me, sometimes you win a tournament, and it could get to your head. And if you are not that type of person to realize that this is, yeah, I won, but, you know, there may be another time I might need to do something else with my game, because you're not absorbing your game. You got to feel within yourself that every day you can learn something new. You never arrive at your full potential just like that. I don't see that kind of behavior from her. Honestly, I don't see it. I think maybe when she gets older, it would develop. But there's some people who, once you make it big, you big all the time.
Well, you know, she's still, but she's still young, you know. She's 19, going on 20, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so I don't want us to beat up on her too much. Yeah. But what we do want, and you bring up a good point, is you want a high level of consistency with your routines and your attention to details. And you got to check that success. Remember now, being the number one tennis player in America is like being the number one tennis player in the world, you know, because they got so much endorsement money, right?
Not only that, but everybody coming after you.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying?
Everybody coming after you. So you have the endorsement, you got to leave somebody out of that, and you take out your game. Yeah, because the game is what's really the big thing. That's what brings everything.
That's the big thing, right? But Ronnie touched on it, and Ronnie, I'll bring you back in here. Endorsement money trumps the money that they play for. No pun intended with Trump, by the way.
Right.
But the endorsement money is huge, Ronnie. That's a pension. That's a pension right there.
Exactly. Well, yeah. And I think it could be a distraction for her, because in America, everything right now is money, and they pay a lot to endorse. You wear my shoes. You wear my clothes. Mm-hmm. You know. And so I think it's a distraction for her, because in these other countries, when these young men or women growing up, they get endorsements, but not like what the Americans do to get you on TV with the Super Bowl or something like that. It's triple the money. And then you could be distracted with it, you know. And as Rocky said, you have to remain focused for a long period of time, not just 1 year. 5 or 6 years,
mm-hmm.
improve and a little improvements in your game to get there. Now, Alcatraz, Sinam, and a couple of these men, they're doing it. They're improving.
Ronnie, this is not a prison, you know. His name is Alcaraz, not Alcatraz.
Alcaraz, yeah. Sorry, Alcaraz. Yeah, thank you. He's improving. And you could see them as they chip away at Djokovic. They're doing it, but they're going it gradually. And Coco Gauff had to do that same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Serena did it. Serena, as a matter of fact, I believe Serena's sister were better than her
early on. Matter of fact, she opened doors for Serena. Serena actually won a Grand Slam tournament before Venus did, right?
Yes.
And Serena was a great player, but Rocky, you're right, you know, she had Coco had a coach, his name was Pereira, right?
Yeah.
And he had to step away because he had a family issue late last year, right? But they had some great success, and then when Gilbert came on, it took it to the next level. But there is one thing I do want to say, though. Of all of the players that we're talking about, none of them have the all-around wizardry with the racket in their hand like Carlos Alcaraz. Seriously.
No.
Right?
No.
He got an assortment of shots. The younger players, they like to hit the ball hard from the baseline. He's a man like that drop shot. He could run up and down the court. He could kick it. He could kick it hard from the baseline. He got the total package, man. The Alcaraz is a nice player, Rocky Laybot, man. Nice.
Yes, sir. Alcaraz is a guy that
He is more like Federer, and Sinner is more like Djokovic.
But listen, Alcaraz is a guy that all the other athletes out there, like Medvedev and those guys, even Murray and them, they admire him. They look at him and see part of a game that they would love to have. You see, that's what I'm talking about with Goff. Goff now knows that there are some people above her that better than her, which is Iga and all those people.
Mm-hmm.
Iga beat her 9 times to 1.
Yeah.
But Djokovic now, in his days, to his credit, he wasn't always that way. Djokovic said, look, Federer and Nadal was beating the hell out of him.
I got to take something from each of them.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And so that's what I'm talking about with Goff. She still got to remember there's a couple of players up there in front of her.
Rocky, them players are bigger than her, you know. Physically, they're physically bigger than her, you know. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So what she need to do is start moving them up and down the court instead of just trying to out-hit them. Let them start to run a little bit more and wear them down. You need strategy, you know, Rocky. We be in the political arena. It's the same thing. You can't just be saying the same thing over and over again. You got to do some things different.
Right.
Yeah.
So you study that game, and you come up with a plan to deal with them. That's what Djokovic did. He studied Nadal's game. He found that Nadal's weakness was these backhand.
Mm-hmm.
And he always had the ball looping coming in. So Djokovic would blast it every time he come in.
I keep it flat.
He would blast it. And Nadal, he had a response to it.
Yeah.
He had a response to it because he'd been winning like that.
But check this out, right? Well, we'll take a break when we come back. I don't want to end this conversation on this note. I want us to talk a little bit, at least 5 minutes when we come back in the second hour, about how we could get our young people here in the Virgin Islands to understand that sports can be a way, right, for them to take their lives to the next level. Of course, you want education. But, you know, sports, so we got some talent down here, man, and we can't really ignore that. You know what I mean? So we'll take a break, come back. Reset the show at the top of the hour. Listening to Analyze This here on 93.1. Table Talk in Effect. Be back right after this.
The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect those of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.
Morning Edition takes you across this country and around the world with stories that keep you informed and the context to understand what matters. The news comes at you quickly, but we slow it down to examine each story from different angles and give perspective on what might happen next. A brand new day comes with new possibilities and a new edition of Morning Edition from NPR News.
Morning Edition, weekdays at 5 a.m. to 8 a.m. on WTJX FM 93.1.
These icebergs are amazing.
Journey to the icy ends of the earth.
It just looks like Mars.
Where the secrets of the past...
We're on a beach.
We're on a beach 3 million years ago.
...hold the clues to our future.
This place is so amazing.
This is the stuff that gives us a glimpse into a past, warmer world.
Humans are geology. We are impacting this planet.
Polar Extremes on Nova.
Tune in March 20th at 9 p.m. on WTJX TV Channel 12.